I don't know whether it's easier or harder to preach when God has given your word prophetically through everybody else. I don't know where to start, really, because he said so much of what I want to say. But I want to read this scripture to you. In him, you too are being built up together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. In him, you too are being built up together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's exactly the dynamic that is happening here and not just here. I had this really nicely sorted out word, and then I didn't sleep much, and I spent a lot of time with God in the night, and as always, he kind of moved things, and then people started coming up here and saying those things. And so, who knows where we'll go with this, but we'll see what he wants to say. He wants to talk about this new life, this way of being that Nadia started off with. Yes, you spoke about it. You said, wait. And that's part of the key of what is happening, is waiting on the Lord and not being impatient, which I've told you before. You know, I've got degrees in impatience. But we have to wait. We have to live in him. We have to come into him. And we have to abide in him. Could somebody turn to John 15 in a New King James version? I don't like the NIV. And I wasn't going to quote it. I would have written it out if I had been going to. But anyway, someone will find it because the internet is an amazing thing. Anybody got that? John 15, starting at verse 4. Somebody want to stand up and read it out loud, probably down through verse 8. Does it say abide?
Yes.
Okay. We'll go with that then.
Bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples.
Amen. Abiding in him. And I want to speak this morning about being in him. In him. Now, you have to go back a step if you're going to talk about being in him, because it is an expression of unity, being in him. Because I have got innumerable scriptures as well that say he's in you. It's both things at once. You're in him and he's in you. And spatially, none of us can get our minds around that. Who's inside who? But it's... But it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that is possible. Of Christ in you, the hope of glory, you in him. Let's look at John 17. And I'm going to look at verse 21, from verse 21. That all of them may be one, Father. This is the high priestly prayer. They call this the high priestly prayer, okay? This is Jesus praying before the crucifixion. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us. Okay, this is unity. Now, unity is a strange commodity. It releases power to do things that can't be done on your own when you're in unity. You can see that in a football team or in a group of firemen who are laying down their lives for each other in a building. They are in unity. They are one. They're doing this together. There isn't any independence on them. They've yielded that so that they can be at one. And God offers that to you and I, that we can be united with him. It's the Bible says, he who is united to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you can have unity on a soulical level, as a football team has, as an orchestra has, doing something they could together, that is so thrilling. Isn't that thrilling, Claire? When you produce something together in unity, which is far more than you could have done on your own, there is a thrill on that, which is in the soul. But there's something much stronger in the spirit. To be at one with God is a spiritual matter. And God being at one with you is a spiritual matter. And you can't produce it just by all getting together, can you? Or even having the same vision. There is a power that has to be released for unity to happen. And my experience is that not many people have experienced unity in the spirit. I was talking to someone recently, and I was talking about unity and what it is to be me in you and you in me. Very powerful thing, very extraordinary laying down of yourself that could happen. And we were talking about God saying that the picture of this in the scripture is marriage, where the two become one. These two shall become one. And the power of that. And I said to this person, do you experience that power release in your marriage? Or with anybody ever? Have you ever experienced that? And they waited for a moment, and then they said no. But Jesus prays for it. This is part of his prayer life. This is what he's leaving, and this is what he's praying for. I think this must be important myself, that we might be one as they are one. Now, if you want to go away and think about that, just ask yourself how it is that the Godhead is one. How are they one? What does that look like? How does that have an effect on each one of them? They are one. And they want us to be one with each other. And if you look at the Tower of Babel, you can see what can be achieved if they are one. God says, I have to do something about that because nothing will be impossible for them if they keep on in this unity. I'll have to do something. Confuses their speech. Because unity is so powerful. They are one. They don't have a bad day with each other. They don't have different ways of seeing a thing. They are one. Because, and you can say, well, it's absolutely impossible to do that on the face of the earth with any group of people. Of course it is, unless you're in the spirit. There is a spirit that can grip humans to cause them to achieve impossible things. The Chinese did it on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. It is impossible to do the march that they did. It's physically impossible to do it, but they were one. They had, a spirit had come upon them. A spirit of revolution, and they were one, and they were able to achieve. And we are called to be one in Him. And everything that has been said this morning about the individual callings, it's because we are the body of Christ. We must live in our individual callings, but we must express that as a body. It's imperative. And in the middle of the night, the Lord was showing me Ezekiel and the Valley of Dry Bones. And He said, what do you think that was? And I said, well, what is it? And through my head, you know how it is in the middle of the night, was the Negro spiritual going, them bones, dry bones. You know, the hip bones connected to the thigh bone, and thigh bones connected to the leg bone, and the leg bones connected to the knee bone. And so it goes on. Now hear the word of the Lord. He said, what is it? And I said, what is it, Lord? He said, it is a prophetic picture of my body. Lots and lots and lots. As far as the eye could see, Ezekiel says, these bones all coming together. We are one particular expression of it here. There are thousands of them. Where my son lived in Raleigh, there was a church on every street. It was quite confusing. Corner of every street, there was a church. Why were there so many? They couldn't agree with each other about almost anything. So he built another church. But that isn't what God wants. That isn't it. The body of Christ is going to move as one man. Nod's favorite scripture, contending as one man. That's what's going to happen to us as God grips us and brings us into this incredible unity that we are not experiencing yet. We are waiting for this. I'm going to read that scripture again. That all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. Unity causes the world to sit up and take notice. And I said to the Lord, has this prayer been answered yet? Are we waiting for this prayer to be answered still? You know, I believe Jesus gets His prayers answered, don't you? I'd like Him to be praying for me. And He is. Ever living to make intercession for me, isn't He? But this prayer, what do I think about this? And the Lord instantly, He absolutely instantly took me to the day of Pentecost. 120, it says they were all with one accord in one place. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, in other words, there's a timing. I said, yes, Lord, I submit to Your timings, I'm waiting. There's a timing and there is a one accordness. Now, I know more modern translations don't have that, but I know it's a key. They were of one accord in one place, and the Holy Spirit arrives and goes, boom! And they, you know, they'd been with Jesus for 3.5 years. Don't you think you'd have loved that? Wandered around with Him, seen Him do the miracles, heard His best teaching, put your head on the stone at night and looked at Him across the firelight. Don't you think you'd have loved it? It hadn't changed them.
Wow.
Had it? Where are they? They're in a room with the door locked for fear of the Jews. After the crucifixion. So they're not that different, are they? Having been with him for 3.5 years. I mean no disrespect, you understand.
Sure.
But walking with Jesus didn't actually change them. They're still arguing about who can be the greatest. On the way to the cross, they're walking up the road to Jerusalem arguing. No, it's me. No, it's you, not you. How can it possibly be you? He let me fold the blanket this morning. It's not you. I understand him better than all the rest of you put together. They're still arguing about things that separate them. That make me here and you there, and you there and me and John over here. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they are one. And the world does sit up and take notice. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And we have had prophecies given here. There's going to be an explosion, isn't there, Barbara? I'm not sure Barbara's sorry she said that. But it's the truth. And she's not the only one who's told us there's going to be an explosion here. And not just here, guys.
Yes.
Not just here. This is God moving across the face of the earth. A great army, as far as the eye can see, all coming together. Bone to bone. Rattling. Glory to God. Yes, this is what he is doing here. He is going to, what is it that guy said when we went to the back of Beyond, into this little tiny Baptist chapel? This man stood up and he said, I don't know who you are. I've never met any of you before, but I can tell you that your church is going to have a Pentecost experience. Whoa. You become one in the Spirit. And you can say to yourself, I mean, I listened to Archbishop Septimu. Is that right? Something like that. Fantastic preach. He was preaching over at Latimer. And he said, these are the 7 things that happened after Pentecost to these disciples that made them able to turn the world upside down. Really incredible. I was so frustrated. You know, I should throw eggs, really. But I loved what he said, but I thought, well, tell me how we get that then. We got to have that. If this is the result, don't tell me what the result is. I can't make that happen. Even in a small group like this, we have our ups and downs, and ins and outs, don't we? You know, yes, this is the 7 incredible things that God will do. How'd you get the explosion? Can I have that first? Don't tell me what it'll look like after. Tell me how to get that. Yes. So, I said to the Lord, I know we need to love each other, Lord. I know love is an absolute blistering key to this, because Jesus said, it's how the world know you're my disciples, you love one another. And we do. There is a great sense of love in this place, but it isn't unity. Not yet. God's got to do that to make us one in spirit, where we'd lay down our life for each other. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. A lot of the time, we don't even want to lay our time down for each other, let alone anything else. This is the love. It is supernatural. It is given to the other. It is united with the other. Willingly die for the other. And it's love that brings us there. Love that brings us into unity, or love that is expressed in unity, Or you can't help yourself loving someone you're in unity with. You can't. They are you and you are them. We are one. We are one. And I can't explain that. I can't tell you what it feels like or how to produce it. We have to come to God for it. And I said to the Lord, so how do we get that then? How do we become so united and so filled with the Holy Spirit and so loving each other that who we are in the natural just disappears? It disappears. It's just gone. And there's these 120 disciples who are going to turn the world upside down, and they don't care if you kill them. They don't. And they are utterly and completely given. How does that happen? I want to just read you quickly some of the scriptures that Jesus spoke about his own life in this, that he was one with the Father. Okay? So this is where we're going, if you want to. He surrendered his independence. Oh! Painful. He said, by myself I can do nothing. That sound familiar? What does he say in that scripture that Nard read? Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we stand on the same piece of ground. He says, by myself I can do nothing. The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. The Father is inside Jesus doing the work. And Jesus says, not even the words are mine. I can tell you there's quite a lot of words that are mine, that God doesn't own. And I know that you've all had the experience where God has just got hold of you and said, don't say that. And you've said it anyway because you wanted to. And then you have to mop up the mess after. Because you shouldn't. Or is it just me? Yes. Rather, it is the Father living in me who's doing the work. Don't we all want that? Yeah. Don't you pray for that? Don't you say, Lord, come and live in me and do something to affect the world, which is what Chris was talking about. Oh, there he is at the back. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. I judge only as I hear. So Jesus is looking at a situation, and he says to them, you judge by human standards. Don't do that. But we do. We know the scripture says, don't judge. We know the scripture says that you've got a thumping great plank in your eye if you're busy judging somebody. We know that it says that, but we still feel we have the right to decide whether this person is behaving correctly or not. And where do we get off? There's a lady in, I think it's Venezuela, but it's certainly somewhere South American, who has been studying these white stones that are all put in perfect shapes on the ground. Been studying them for about 30 years. And with other guys there. And one of the guys decided that these particular things that look like this, they're huge, absolutely huge, were alien landing craft car parks. This is a professor, you understand, who gets paid to do this stuff. Anyway, she and this professor were offered the opportunity, and it's right out in the middle of nowhere, I mean nowhere. They get the opportunity to go up in a plane, a small plane, and look at it all from above. Well, these things that looked as though they might be alien car parks turned out to be the feathers of a huge eagle. And from you could only see that from above. And she said, I've wasted 30 years. If I'd have come up here 30 years ago, I would have been able to see that they're all pictures of animals and birds and things. But I never knew. So I walked around on the ground, not understanding it, not able to get to grips with it. You don't have God's view of the other person. You don't have it. The Bible says, who are you to judge another man's servant? Before his master he stands or falls, and his master is able to make him stand. Because that's who God is. We have to release judgment. Jesus said, I don't judge. He's the only one who can, but he doesn't do it. He says, I listen. What are you saying, Lord? Everybody else hates Zacchaeus. I don't want you to. I don't look at him like that. Go to his house and have dinner. Take Matthew, the tax collector that everybody really hates, and have him as part of your bunch. The boys aren't going to like it. Who cares? You do what God says. You hear, you judge as you hear, not because you're not trying to please yourself. You're trying to please him. I have obeyed my Father's commands. Jesus said, and this scripture used to really get me when I was young. He used to say, if you obey my commands, then you really love me. And I'll come and live with you. Lovely, except I didn't seem to be able to obey the commands. You know, falling flat on that all the time and feeling condemned and, you know, blah, blah. You can imagine, can't you? But Jesus said, I obey my Father's commands. Why is that? Because this love that enters into you makes you say, I wouldn't want to do anything to hurt you. If you say no, it's no. Because I'm not in charge. You're in charge. And I love you. And I really want to obey you. And where I fail, I'm really sorry. And I pick myself up and I have another go. But I really want to obey you and love you. So you can live with me. Because that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm living with the Father because I do what he says. And it's not by your own willpower. It's by the power of the Spirit of God. That's how Jesus did it. By himself, he can do nothing. So he has the Holy Spirit to come and do it. You can have the Holy Spirit come and do it in you too. He says, I honor my Father. We live in a society that doesn't want to honour anybody. We satirise our politicians. We pull down everybody who is doing anything. We criticise and we encourage others to criticise. We don't honour anybody. Honour God. Honour him. I am not seeking glory for myself. You can decide whether you might, where you might be on that. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. I do nothing on my own initiative. That's a killer, isn't it? I do nothing on my own initiative. In other words, I'm connected and I'm listening and I'm doing what I'm told because I don't want to initiate something that isn't him. Hugely challenging, isn't it? The Son can only do what he sees the Father doing because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. I've told you before, but it'll live with me forever. I said to someone, how do you feel God? What do you think God feels about this course of action that you're about to take? And they said, I don't care what God thinks. I know what I think. And I'm going to do that. This is how Jesus lived it. And this is how we're going to live it. Because something's going to happen to us as we wait on him. And the power of God is going to get hold of us. And this will become absolutely natural to us. Not something that is so high above us we say, well, I could never live like that. I couldn't live like that. I don't know how to live like that. I don't even know if I can hear God properly. But this power, it's coming. It's coming upon us. Power to live the life. Okay, I'm going to quickly run through some scriptures. I'm going to leave all the inner scriptures out, because there's a lot of them. And I'm just going to hit the highlights on us being in him. He's opened the door. Somebody said that as well this morning. Opened the gate for you to come in and live in him. How about it? On that day, which is when the world sees him no more, on that day you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. There it is. It's a two-way exchange. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. God made him who knew no sin to be sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's where you are righteous. It's in him. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. It's utterly stunning that we can worship here this morning. And God says, Jesus says, God is looking for those who worship in the spirit and the truth. Why is that? Because that's where he lives. And he invites you in. He says, come up here. Be in the spirit. Be in the truth. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. How does it do that? Because you get hold of a piece of truth, whichever piece of truth it is that happens to have impacted you this morning, and it sets you free from your wrong mindset about yourself, about God, about unity, about whatever it is. It sets you free from thinking the wrong thing all the time. Anybody who has self-hatred on their life is thinking the wrong thing all the time. You're useless, you're nothing, you shouldn't have. If you do, it'll fail. I don't think you should be the one who volunteers. Blah, 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 blah. On it goes. It's not the truth. And it's bondage, because it's not the truth. But the truth, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, will set you free. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expression in his kindness to us in Christ. In other words, he's going to brag about you. I'm not quite sure who to. But he's going to show in coming ages and say, look what I did. Look what I've done. I've saved them. I've filled them with my Holy Spirit. They do amazing things because they're in me. This is my grace. Anybody want to see what my grace looks like? Come and see them. Aren't they amazing? Yes, I know. They were nothing in the least. I chose them anyway because of my grace. Be made new in the attitude of your minds and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Get rid of the wrong thinking and know that you're created to be like God. No, I'm a miserable worm. No. Put it off. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you've been given fullness in him. He's full of God, and he makes you full. Wow. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's no good looking for you anywhere except in God, because you died. You signified that by your baptism. We proclaim him as Christ, so that we may present everyone, what? Perfect in Christ. It's another wow as far as I'm concerned. The God of all grace called you to his eternal glory in Christ. These are all just scriptures. They're all amazing. You could stop a whole year and think about that. The God of all grace called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Wow. Don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Do you know that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death? Easy to quote that, isn't it? But this is what it is. I think it's the first or the second law of aerodynamics. I don't know it exactly what it is. But it says that you can overcome gravity if air moves over the top of a wing of a particular shape. So the law of gravity works everywhere, under every circumstance, unless you're in something where this law of aviation works. What is it? Aerodynamics. Yes, I wanted to say thermo, which I knew wasn't right. Aerodynamics. So, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can put a plane in the air and overcomes the law of sin and death. But you're only safe if you're in the plane. You step out of the plane and the law of sin and death and gravity will get you every time. Won't it? But in him, you're a different person. You're new. You're made absolutely new. You live in him. And it overcomes sin and death. In him. Stay in the plane. It's obvious, isn't it? In him, you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How much?
None.
Time's gone, so I want to go back to John 17 and I want us to pray. Because this is the key to living this life. Of being in unity together, we need to be much more united, guys. And that's going to happen. And we need to understand that we're one with God and he's one with us. And we're going to have a powerful experience of that which will change us forever. And the Church of Jesus Christ is going to experience it. And we won't have all this denominational crap. Because we will be one. It's a supernatural thing. So I want to pray what Jesus prayed, but from our perspective. This is his prayer. This is what he's asking God for. And I want to pray it. So I'm going to pray. And you can say amen if you like. That all of us may be one, Father, just as you are in Christ and he is in you. All of us. Amen. Lord, we thank you that Christ has given us the glory that you gave him, that we might be one as you and he are one. Christ in us and you in him. Thank you, Lord. May we be brought to complete unity. To let the world know you sent Jesus and have loved us even as you have loved him. I'm going to read that again. May we be brought to complete unity. Yes, Lord. Amen. Let it be so. Let it be so. So that the world will know that you sent Jesus. Yes, Lord. Amen. Let it be so. And you have loved us even as you have loved him. Yes, Lord, that is so. Lord, I pray so rich the things you brought in the worship, Lord, so true. I pray that you will minister the truth to us so that we can be set free. I want to know the truth so that I can be set free. I want to know that I'm in you and you're in me so that I can be set free. I want to be in unity with my brothers and sisters in Christ so that I can be set free. I want the body of Christ across the nations to come together as one, so that we can all be set free, so that we become this dwelling that God lives in by his Spirit. I pray you would be manifested in our lives this year, Lord, to an incredible extent. I pray we would love each other because you are bringing that into our hearts. Pour out the love of God into our hearts, Holy Spirit. We pray for it in Jesus' name. We don't want to be independent people. We want to be utterly dependent on you, knowing that we cannot do anything apart from you, but that we can do everything in you. We can do all things in Christ, but we have to be in Christ. So, Lord, I pray that you would transform us. You would so send the Holy Spirit to prepare us in this time of waiting, Lord. You would move upon us. You would break down barriers. You would cause us, Lord, to be more open to you than we have ever been before. You'd cause us, Lord, to give up our independence and our refusal to yield. And we would know the wonder of being in such contact with God that we can get our directions and our things you want us to do straight from the throne. I want to be in such a people, Lord. I pray for such a people. Awesome, glorious people who manifest God in the supermarket, who show forth the excellences of his power to needy folks. Come upon us, Holy Spirit. Do that which you have promised. Send us that explosion of unity so that the blessing may be upon us as we dwell together in unity. Amen.